And joining me now by phone, I have Lorraine Cook, who is a person that I've been in contact with a fair amount of time and who is involved with the Independent Living Movement and Greater Dublin Independent Living as well. She joins me now by phone. Hi, Lorraine. How are you?
I'm good, Rona. Thank you.
Lorraine, we were speaking about the idea of talking about PA services and the highs and the lows of having a PA. Tell me about your experience. When did you first have your first PA?
3 years ago, in 2011, July 2011, I moved into PA.
Right.
Well, I moved out of residential care into PA care.
And so, because you moved from residential care into PA care, that must have been a big leap. And how was that experience?
It was a very successful experience for me, in that the residential setting that I was in wasn't really suited to my needs. So I had a HSE review, which suggested that I tried this type of care instead, and I can't complain.
And so when you had your very, very first personal assistant, or PA for short, how was that experience, and how did that that relationship develop?
It meant that I was able to go to my course, which was the main thing. Once she was able to help me out in the mornings and take me to where I needed to go. Yeah, it was good. Now, to begin with, unfortunately, I didn't have any accommodation, which was one of the downfalls, because I was living out of a hotel, unlike the last few months where I've got my own accommodation.
And so when you have a PA, like for me, when I got my first PA, which was 11 years ago now, there are always negotiations, and there are always challenges, and there can be conflict. Have there been times where you've had these issues?
Yes, because I've had different PAs within the 3 years that I have been using the personal assistant service.
Right.
Some PAs I've got on with a lot more than others, but that's to be expected with anybody else in life. Some of them things, really.
And so how do you negotiate these challenges if there's a PA that you, let's say, you don't get on as well with as some others? What do you do to create a more harmonious working relationship?
Because I'm connected with an agency that are constantly doing checkups and stuff, if I did ever have any problems, they are only a phone call away 24 hours a day.
And so if there's somebody listening at the moment, Lorraine, and they're thinking about getting their first PA and connecting with the service, what would your advice be to them?
My advice would be definitely to go on ahead and to try it out. I love it for the flexibility that it's given me within the last 3 years, in that I can come and go totally whenever I please. I'm the one that decides what I do, what I eat, where I go, everything, like.
And gives you more freedom. It gives you more freedom of choice.
Totally.
Has it been life-changing?
Yes, most definitely. The last 3 years, it has flown. But, yes, it definitely has.
Been life-changing. It's interesting, as a person, as I say, I mean it's nice that we're having this chat about this, because we've both been using personal assistance for a couple of years now, me for quite a long time, for 11, and there are personality types that you'll get on with better than others. I think every relationship is a working relationship, and I think that's the thing that people misunderstand most about a PA service. It's not a buddy-buddy system. It's a working relationship, and it's about mutual respect, and it's about clear communications with each other, and it's a permanent changing and evolving relationship, I feel.
That it is.
And so you're saying, if somebody is interested in getting involved and interested in getting a PA service, their first port of call should be, what questions should they be asking of themselves, would you think?
Well, the most important thing that you need to look at is if it's right for you. I was well supported with the National Advocacy Services, who accompanied me to a HSE review. And it was there that my needs were assessed to see what my current service was providing compared to what my actual needs were.
For anybody who is listening at the moment and they're thinking, well, I'd love a PA, but I don't really know what I'd need them for, I think a person needs to sit down and think about their day or what they do in their week and where they would need supports and what kind of supports, because there is support around going to college, there is support around, you know, you're living in your house and daily tasks around your home. There might be personal care supports that you might need. So it does vary from person to person. It's not a one size fits all. It's very much a tailor-made individual package to suit you and your PA. And as I say, it's an ever-changing, working, evolving relationship. So, as you say, you get involved with an agency, and of course, the Centre for Independent Living can supply some of those supports, and IWA can support them as well. Of course, you could also do the direct payments as well, but if you're new to the PA's service, it's probably best to go with a service provider and get into the system first and get used to it. What are the drawbacks, Lorraine?
I've been quite lucky in that I haven't had that many drawbacks. Other than accommodation was my worst. Trying to book accommodation around HSE hours, because sometimes I would have been getting accommodation after a Monday to Friday, so by that stage the agency would have been closed.
Right.
Now, they would have had emergency weekend call-outs, all right, but in order to do it that way. But now that I've moved into my own full-time accommodation, I can't say, well, I've definitely been one of the lucky ones whenever it comes to hitches, and I haven't had very many hitches.
And I suppose if issues do, and that's great that you've finally resolved that issue, but if issues come up very personally with your PA and you're having a slight conflict, and you may not necessarily want to go to the agency first. You might want to deal with it yourself first. How have you done that in those
I've
situations?
I've been lucky in that I am well supported with Centre for Independent Living, as well as with other friends within the community that would equally look out for me as well. So I have been lucky that way, in that they would know, because me and my PA would tend to go a lot of different places together. We are kind of known to start off. Now, she would leave me because I'm in a position to be left.
Yeah.
But we would kind of, they'd know whenever I'm happy with the person.
Yes.
So I have been well looked out for since I started doing this.
I think from my own experience, it's been, if there has been a situation where something has arisen and there's been slight conflict, or there may be a disagreement or a misunderstanding, I think it's very, very important to sit down and have a very clear and calm conversation with somebody and talk about your experience of the situation, and then get their experience of the situation and really re-communicate what it is that you want, because sometimes people can misunderstand each other so easily, and they can be so misunderstood so easily, that it's important that you take the time to sit down and be very clear about what it is that you want from your service and the level of support that you want from a person that you're working with.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's completely worth it in the end, because it's such an incredible lifeline, don't you think?
And that is.
Yeah, it really, really is. Is it something that you would highly recommend to somebody else, Lorraine?
It is indeed, yes.
Why?
Why? Because it just gives you so much more flexibility. It's just so much more freedom. I definitely wouldn't go back to the way I was living. And I've done different centres in the years, 12 years.
Yeah.
I've had different residential centres, both north and south of Ireland. Mm. And definitely the last 3 years have definitely made me feel a lot more equal in the community, and just a lot more, I make my decisions. Yeah.
So you're feeling like you're much more an integral part of the community.
Yeah.
Well, that's the very, very best reason to be doing this. I mean, so that you have more freedom, more choice, more independence. And that's what the whole independent living movement is about. It's about to give you more independence. And that's what a PA's role is to support you to be as independent as you possibly can. Lorraine, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I have no doubt I will speak to you again very, very soon. Thanks very much again, Lorraine. Take care now. Bye-bye. Well, isn't she just one beautiful lady? That is Lorraine Cook there. And my thanks to her, as always, for being part of the show. She's been on the programme a couple of times, and I have to say I always find it very interesting and fabulous to speak to her. Yes, it can be challenging having a PA, but it can also be an incredibly brilliant and life-changing experience, because PA services are a complete and total lifeline for people with disabilities. And if you are interested in getting a PA yourself, maybe you could get in contact with the Irish Wheelchair Association or with the Centre for Independent Living or with GDIL, with ourselves here at GDIL, and we will pass on any information and details that you need or any supports that you might need to gain a PA service into your package. Because I promise you, it would be a life-changing experience. I've had PAs myself for the last 11 years, and it is it's incredible. It's great. It's always a bit of a negotiation, but it's wonderful to have a PA service. So if you do want to get in contact with us, as always, you can do so with any thoughts and comments you have about that. And if you want to get in contact with GDIL, you can on 087 1179 112, and we'll be happy to chat to you about anything that you have PA related. Now, are you a person who is interested in the arts and has a love of the arts? Maybe you're interested in acting, or you're interested in singing, or you're interested in some kind of pottery, or maybe you have a love of dance. Well, joining me now by phone is a lady who has a complete and total love of dance and is a co-founder of an integrated dance company called Spoken Dance. Lisa Cahill now joins me by phone.
Hi, how are you, Rona?
How are you doing?
I'm really great. Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
I'm always delighted to have you. Lisa, first of all, tell me a little bit about Spoken Dance and how you became to be involved with them and the ideas behind it in the first place.
Well, Spoken Dance, it's an integrated contemporary dance company, and it was set up out of a meeting between Mary Hartney and myself. And Mary Hartney is a community dance artist based in Limerick.
Mm.
And I met Mary when I was doing my master's in contemporary dance performance at the World Academy in the University of Limerick.
Right.
And Mary was supervising an elective I was doing in community arts. And I suppose a relationship developed out of there. We very much have a shared passion for movement education, because we're both former teachers, but also a really strong passion and belief in dance as a community art form, as an art form in its own right, and a really strong belief that everybody can dance. And so that's kind of the root of it. And we maintained a relationship throughout my master's program.
Mm.
And following that, she knew a man called Sultan Kakar.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a really sporty man from Afghanistan living in Limerick, and he's also a wheelchair user. And he was going to her community classes. So Mary very much had a strong practice in integrated dance. And of course, Rona, I myself had much experience in integrated dance, dancing with you and in Creaghlan, and I suppose that's really been the root of Spoken Dance. It's kind of come from our experience. It's come from the people we know and the people we've really enjoyed working with, and also then a shared passion in kind of pushing the boundaries of who can dance, what we can dance about, and showing this to new audiences and finding new places to show.
And I suppose it's also pointing the question and posing the question of what is dance and what is art, because it's completely subjective.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's very important to really, I think, to really hold on to that subjectiveness.
Yes.
And that personal touch. And for me, as a dance artist and just even exploring ideas, like, it's very important to me that I really can bring things in and really explore them quite personally, because I believe that the personal is universal, so that if I can be very authentic and honest,
it will
in
show
my body, that it will show and actually it resonates with other people then who are seeing me in my body, I myself, but also then as a company, that is something that I would like us to strive for.
Yes,
so there's real connections between people. People are really being themselves,
absolutely,
in their bodies, and I can really, I really realize this after many years dancing. That is really what I'm striving for.
Yeah, I suppose we're all striving for a connection, and we're all striving for greatness in performance. And what would you say, Lisa, for people listening at the moment now who haven't got a clue what integrated dance is? How would you describe it?
Well, first of all, I would describe it, it's dance, and it's non-stylized dance. So it's a body moving in a very authentic and real and personal way, perhaps to music, perhaps not to music. But then the word integrated and the word contemporary, they start to lead us down particular paths.
Mm.
And those paths are, integrated means that it's an opportunity to really offer a space where everybody is welcome to move, and no matter what your experience, your age, your body shape, your ability or disability, mental illness, or it's a real platform for people to come together, where I suppose it's about people coming as themselves and meeting in that space. And then the other thing is contemporary. Contemporary really is really saying that, yes, dance, we are doing this. It is an art form in its own right. It can be explored. We can experiment with our bodies. We're not sure what the performance will look like, but we're going to really explore and see what we can come up with together.
Yes.
And whether that be abstract dance, like abstract art, or contemporary music. So, so it's very much about the dancer and the body being at the centre of the work.
Nicely explained, nicely explained. And so recently, in the last couple of months, and in the last while, you've been getting involved with AXIS, and with AXIS, who are in America, and Kanduko Integrated Dance, who are in the UK. Tell me about those experiences.
Yeah.
First of all, tell me about Kanduko, because that was more recent.
That was more recent, about 4 weeks ago. I went over to London to do a little bit of work with Kanduko, which is one of the very first integrated professional dance companies in the world.
Mm.
And so they were running a summer laboratory.
Yeah.
So a week where people came from all over the world to come together, people who have an interest in integrated contemporary dance. And we worked with a director, a choreographer for the week, and really just exploring her process, but really then allowing that to impact on our own practice as dance artists.
Mm.
And then, of course, the opportunity to network and to meet other people who work in this field around the world.
Mm.
So for me, it's very important that I don't work in isolation. Mm. And for spoken dance as well, that
it's constantly evolving, moving and developing.
Yeah, constantly evolving and moving. And it's very important. It's professional development and an opportunity to see what's happening out there in the international scene in dance. And AXIS are an integrated company based in San Francisco. And again, they are pushing their own boundaries and the potential of the work, and I suppose it's very important to me to
keep expanding, to keep developing and changing.
And then to bring those ideas back to Limerick and Cork and Munster and Ireland as a national hub of dance. And so it's really about not seeing dance in Ireland even as something separate or isolated, but it's actually about really looking beyond the boundaries of the place that I'm at or the country. Mm. And
obviously it was a very, very really incredible experience and really fruitful and worthwhile.
Oh yeah. And actually, like, what I'm left with after both experiences working with Kanduko and Access is the relationships that I made during those weeks and the people that I really connected with, and then I'm able to stay in touch with them. And through the wonderful social media that's out there now, videos of their work. Connect with them and see their work. It's up, there's access to it online very quickly. And, it's really really important.
And so, Lisa, if people want to get in contact with Spoken Dance and they're interested in getting involved, how can they do so?
Well, Spoken Dance have a Facebook page, Spoken Dance Company, and they can also get in touch with me. I'm Lisa Cahill, and I have a website, lisacahilldance.com. And also, they can email spokendancecompany@gmail.com. And they can contact me on my mobile number. It's 086-408-5877.
Perfect.
And, yeah.
And why not? I suppose for anybody who's listening at the moment and they're thinking dance is something they'd absolutely love to do, they'd like to get involved with dance theatre or dance in some way, shape or form, why not do so and get in contact with you? Because, you're readily available, one of the main companies in integrated dance in Ireland and doing incredible work. So why would people not get involved? And that's how they can do so.
It's really about trying it out.
It really is.
and seeing, believing.
It is. And sometimes you need to see it to believe it, to be honest.
It's very true. And see, I think as well, to see it is to feel it as well, or something like that. Like it's a very much an experience of the senses.
Yes, but absolutely.
And I also just want to add that that I have a connection with Maynooth and the university, and that there will be opportunities to explore integrated dance up in Maynooth, so a little bit closer to Dublin.
And of course, you are as always connected with Greater Dublin Independent Living, the company that I'm working for, and have done some work with us. So there possibly will be further opportunities there to do some work with the GDIL moving forward. But for the meantime, Lisa, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, Roland. Best of luck with your show, and thank you for having me.
Listen, it was an absolute pleasure, and I will talk to you again soon, no doubt. Thanks very, very much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a delightful and exciting and very fun and fabulous interview with Lisa Cahill there and all things Spoken Dance. And if you are interested in getting involved with Spoken Dance, you can like them on Facebook at their Facebook page, www.facebook.com/ Spoken Dance. As always, you can get in contact with the programme. Any thoughts and comments you have about anything that we've been chatting about in today's show on 087-6944-500. And of course, Lisa has gone off to do some integrated workshops with Access and with Kanduko as well. And information for Kanduko and for Access can be found via their websites and via the old World Wide Web. So if you want to check out more things about them and see maybe some workshops or some training that they're doing across the pond, you can get in contact with them as well. But Spoken Dance is a fabulous place to start. So you can always get in contact with them, as they say, via Facebook. Well, another show nearly done and dusted. This is Near FM 90.3. It's been an incredible show. My thanks as always to some incredible guests, to Lisa Cahill from Spoken Dance, and who is co-founder of Spoken Dance. Of course, you can contact Lisa, as I was saying earlier. And of course, thank you as well to Lorraine Cook for talking about all things PA related. This has been Near FM. It's Rona Colin here with you, and I will be back with you again next Tuesday, the 23rd of September, at 3:30. With joining me in the studio will be Mr. Aaron Abbey, and who will be a regular part and regular contributor of the programme from here on in, which is lovely to say, to see and to say as well. Of course, if you're interested in getting involved with the radio show, or you have any show ideas that you would like us to cover or to do, or you're interested in getting involved yourself, as always, you can do so on 087-6944-500. Of course, us at GDIL as well on 087-1179-112. Take care. Have a wonderful week. Bye.